preaching roster somewhere on a Thursday night. Of course, this upcoming Thursday night is discipleship night, but we'll give him his opportunity to share with us. Amen. Hopefully my voice will hold out tonight. Exodus chapter 16 is where we're headed. Way up there in the front part of your Bible. Page 119 in my large print. It's just on the wall there if you can't find it. Exodus chapter number 16, verse number 1 tonight. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. I just want to stop right there just for a moment. Don't ever say that. Amen. It might happen. And when they sat by the flesh pots, and when they did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Amen. You can be seated again tonight. I just want to simply preach this message, titled it just Day by Day. Day by Day. I don't know, maybe I shouldn't, but I often get amused at the children of Israel on their journey through the wilderness. I don't guess I've ever seen or encountered someone that was so unthankful in my entire life. Here they were, slaves, and God brought them out with a mighty hand, the Bible says. Miracles, wonders, signs. And they don't get but 15 days out of Egypt. And they're the most spoiled, rotten bunch of kids God has ever encountered. Wow. Oh, to God that he would have killed us in Egypt, more or less, by the flesh pots and eating bread. Pretty carnal, huh? Pretty fleshly. It lets me know that their desire was not towards God, it was towards themselves. All they could think about was the food they left behind. Yeah. I'm kind of guilty. Brother Lucas talked about planning a trip. I mean, you know, when we plan a trip, my first question is, okay, where are we going to eat? But I'm not going to ask God to kill me before I get there. Amen? Praise God. Day by day, so here they are, they're murmuring against Moses, they're murmuring against Aaron, and Aaron and Moses really didn't have anything to do with them coming out of the land of Egypt other than leading them out. It wasn't Moses' hand that performed the miracles, so to speak, it was God. God had worked the mighty work. So God in his grace, we're seeing grace operate here at this moment of time for the children of Israel. Because it wasn't much long after this that he began to judge them for their murmuring. He gave them opportunity of repentance, if you will, of their speaking out against him. You notice that they murmured against Moses and Aaron. You go down and you read further in that chapter, you find out that Moses begins to tell them, you're not really murmuring against me. We're nothing. You're murmuring against God. And so God says, I'm going to give you bread from heaven. And he also then gave them quail, flesh. He gave them bread in the morning, and he gave them quail in the evening, so that they could have their bread and have their flesh. Wow. What I'm after here tonight is the reality of what God told them to do. So God is miraculously bringing bread. God is miraculously bringing flesh. But then he says, when you gather the bread, just go out and gather a certain rate every day. No more, no less. He gave them the specific amount that each family was to gather for their household according to how many people were in their household. And they were to gather that much every morning and not to keep any leftovers. So that's a blessing to those who don't like leftovers. Amen. No leftovers of the manna. They were to eat it that morning. If there was any left, they were just to discard it, throw it out. But actually, they were only supposed to gather enough to consume it. No more, no less. But some of them gathered more, kept it over. They thought they'd got one over on God. But come the next morning, worms had gathered in it, and it stank. Wasn't that something to wake up to that next morning, thinking that they had gathered more and got away with it? And they wake up the next morning to this horrid odor and wondering, what in the world is that? And they go over and uncover their manna that they had so slyly kept back, and there's worms crawling in it, and there's the source of the stink. Whoa. Day by day, he gave them a command, just take it every day, day by day. Then he told them on the sixth day, you are allowed to gather double. In my opinion, the same ones that tried to hoard it over were the ones out there on the seventh day looking for it, because they were scared to death to keep it 2 days. As you read further down in that portion of Scripture, you find that they were to gather twice as much on that sixth day and eat on it again that seventh day. But then there were some that went out the seventh day looking for it. And once again, just in my opinion, it was those that kept it for that second day, and they were scared to death to do it again because they didn't want that stink in their house. But then they went without food that day, a forced fast, if you will. Amen. Number one is because they would not listen to the command of God. That's very simple. I mean, you know, I don't know. That's why I get amused at them. Because God's speaking directly to Moses. They know God is speaking directly to Moses. And Moses and Aaron see to it that everybody gets the message, gets the memo. And yet they are still doing their own thing. Whoa. Like I said, later on they get judged for it and the earth opens up and thousands of them go to their death. Because they didn't learn their lesson. And of course, if you read on in the story, you find out that all those that came out of the land of Egypt, except for Joshua and Caleb, are the only ones that got to enter into the promised land. Because that whole host died in the wilderness for 40 years as they journeyed because of their unbelief. And so we see then, God made a provision for them, a miraculous provision for them. But it was a day by day basis. Now this is where I'm going. The reality of day by day. Let me read this to you and then we'll move on with the message here tonight. This is a commentator on this portion of Scripture here in Exodus chapter 16. Says, it was without doubt with a view to this and to meet man's weakness that God graciously appointed the change of day and night. If time had been given to man in the form of one long unbroken day, it would have exhausted and overwhelmed him. The change of day and night continually recruits and recreates his powers. as a child who easily makes himself master of a book when each day only the lesson for the day is given him, would be utterly hopeless if the whole book was given him at once. So it would be with man, if there was no division in time. Broken small and divided into fragments, he can bear them. Only the care and the work of each day have to be undertaken. The day's portion in its day. The rest of the night fits him for making a fresh start with each new morning. The mistakes of the past can be avoided, its lessons improved. And he is only each day to be faithful for one short day. Long years and long life take care of themselves without the sense of their length or the weight of ever being a burden. Day by day. One day at a time, as the songwriter wrote, day by day. It's evident God established an understanding to give you and I that reality, that grace, to understand that we only have to walk one day at a time. There's a song out by one of the crab family. It's not how you walk on water, or you don't have to walk on water. It's how you walk on land. Hallelujah. You don't have to have a miracle in your life, but if you're born again, you got one. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you got two. But you don't have to walk on water. You just have to walk on land. And you only have to do that day by day. Day by day. One day, serving God. One day. And each day will lead into years. And those years will turn into eternity. Hallelujah. And then the Bible has multiple scriptures that talk about day by day. Day by day. Hallelujah. I don't know, when I begin to read this and I begin to look at this and I begin to realize, praise God, we can do it. Hallelujah. It just takes one day to be victorious and then take a break. Get up the next day and press towards that prize again. Woo, hallelujah. Just day by day, day by day. I know this is not earth-shaking, but yet I think it's something that we need to get a grip on again. Hallelujah. Because sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I get overwhelmed. Why would I get overwhelmed? Because I forget that it's just day by day. It's just day by day. I just have to do it today. If I get it done today, then I get a break, and I'll find rest and strength to do it again tomorrow. Praise God. Lamentations 3 in verse 22 and 23, it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. And I like that word. A lot of times we use mercy, but compassion and mercy are synonyms. But in this scripture, the word is used, compassions fail not. And they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Hallelujah. In other words, God has compassion on me. God has compassion on you every morning. Every morning when we arise, the compassion of God is looking upon us. Hallelujah. And his desire is for us to look unto him, that we can walk with him that day. We can fulfill his will that day. We can be a witness that day. We can be a light to shine that day. In other words, if we purpose in our heart every morning to be a partaker of his compassion. You see, it's not hard to get into the presence of God, because he's already there. He's already got compassion. He already has mercy. All I have to do is reach to him. All I have to do is draw nigh to him. All I have to do is set my heart towards him. Hallelujah. And I'll be in his presence. Hallelujah. I've got to have that desire to be in his presence. Hallelujah. I mean, because this is the thing. This is the story. What it is I take his presence for granted. I just presume he's going to be there whether I reach for him or not. And that's a partial truth. He will be. But the other side of that is you will not be strengthened. You will not have power. You will not have that anointing we preached about this morning. Hallelujah. Unless you reach for that compassion or you reach for that mercy in the newness of that day. Hallelujah. Praise our God. In Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse number 18. It says, also day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. And here is Nehemiah reading God's word. And day by day, he just reads God's word to the people. If you go read that story, you find that he read God's word all day. Day by day. Yeah. And you think I preach long. Woo, hallelujah. Praise. I'm finding inspiration from Nehemiah tonight. Hallelujah. Praise our God. Psalm 61 and 8. It says, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Daily. Day by day. I'm just reiterating this tonight. This message, that's what it's about. It's about day by day. And I want to keep rehearsing it in our ears and in our minds until we're always thinking about day by day. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Psalms 145 and 2. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Got a question for you, and I don't want you to raise your hand or answer it, but it's one of those questions you can ponder and think on. Do you get up in the morning praising God? Or do you get up in the morning complaining because you got to get up? Instead of rejoicing that you can get up. More than likely, if you're of the younger age, you might complain that you got to get up and go to school. If you're of the older age, you're rejoicing because you got up to go to school. Praise God. Woo, hallelujah. But the reality, every day will I bless thee and I will praise thy name forever and ever. It's a daily thing to give praise to God, to give thanksgiving to God. You will go a long way with God and in the power of God if you become a very highly thankful individual and give God praise for everything you've got. You will have favor with God. But if you take it all for granted and just keep wanting more, you're going to be miserable. It just doesn't work that way. Proverbs 8 and 34, blessed is a man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors, and whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. What is that talking about? Who's that talking about? Well, that's wisdom. Wisdom. And who is wisdom? Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so the reality is, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. What is that? That's a prepared heart to want to see Jesus, to want to know Jesus, to want to walk with Jesus, to want to do the will of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And that's what wisdom's all about, because that's what wisdom is. Hallelujah. A wise man will follow Christ. A wise man will do the will of the Lord. A wise man will be pursuing the things of God. But the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Why would he say that? Because he knows there is one. But he's trying to convince himself it's not really real. So he's lying to himself. That's what makes him the fool. Is because he really knows better. The heavens declare the glory of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I realize those scriptures are not up there. I told you, Brother Lucas, I fill some in as we go. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 46 and verse 15, thus shall they prepare the lamb and the meat offering and the oil every morning for a continual burnt offering. You see, in the Old Testament, there was worship going on every morning and every evening. There was a time of sacrifice every morning and every evening. Praise God. I realize we've moved into the New Testament, but there should be a sacrifice going on every morning and every evening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving going on every morning. Hallelujah. And every evening. Putting all the glory and the honor and the praise to God. Thanking God for another day. And when you get to the end of that day, thanking God He took you through that day and you did another one. You did another one. You walked another day hand in hand with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Luke 9 and 23. And he said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Lets me know I'm going to have to follow Jesus Christ day by day. I can't get these visions in my mind of all these great things I'm going to do in the future and neglect today. There'll never be a great thing in the future if you don't have a great thing today. Hallelujah. It's kind of like the reality tomorrow never comes. Putting it off till tomorrow. But tomorrow never comes because it's always today. When you wake up in the morning, it's today. We are still in today. It's not dark outside yet. We're still in today. Rejoicing, praising our God day by day. Luke 11:3, part of the Lord's Prayer. Give us day by day our daily bread. I trust you read your Bible every day. And I trust you do it in a way that you're going to get something from it. That means paying attention to it. It's so easy to turn it on, but then not pay attention to what it's saying. So easy to turn it on, and then all of a sudden you start thinking about your day. You see, that word has to be assimilated. It's got to be absorbed into my heart, into my mind, written on my heart. Give us day by day our daily bread, that bread of heaven. The Word of God, Jesus is the Word. That presence of God, hallelujah, the Holy Ghost, our daily bread. Praise be to God. You know, sometimes bread's hard to swallow if you don't have water. That Holy Ghost of God and that Word of God, they've got to be taken together, or you could choke. Yeah. You could get to the place where you can't handle the bread. That's why you need the Spirit of God. You need that anointing of God, that power from above, that love of God, that sound mind. Hallelujah. Hebrews 3 and 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. The deceitfulness of sin is that continual bombardment of the enemy of your soul trying to convince you that God's not real. Trying to convince you this is not His Word. The deceitfulness of sin is listening to the lies of the enemy. Don't give him the time of day. Take your day and give it to Christ. Take your day and purpose it in your heart. You're going to walk with Him in that day. Hallelujah. Because it's a day that the Lord has made, and He's given it to you. You see, God's not bound by time. He created time for you and for me. Just like what I read earlier. He gave us day and He gave us night. Aren't you thankful you've got night where you can find rest in your own body, strength in your own body, so you can do it another day? Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. So we see it's a day-by-day walk. It's a day-by-day power. It's a day-by-day anointing. It's a day-by-day bread. Everything about the kingdom of God is day by day. Hallelujah. Because we've got to remain steadfast. That means unmovable from what we know and what we believe. And we have to do that day by day. And the only way we'll do that is if we're beginning to doubt. Then open it up and remove all doubt. Humble your heart before God and remove all doubt. Hallelujah. And let the Holy Ghost of God empower. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 4:16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. See the bright light shine? It's just about home time. See, I can't see that with my natural eye. But it's real. Because the Spirit of God shows it in my spirit. And bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. A joint heir with Christ. Have an inheritance that's coming. And have an earnest of the inheritance now. Hallelujah. I love that. Praise God. It's just the reality of everything eternal. It's not physically seen. And everything physically seen, Sister Pepper, you're temporal. Brother Cisneros, you're temporal. The body you and I have is not going to last forever. We wish it would last a little better longer, praise God. But it's not going to last forever. Ah, but that new man, that inward man, can always be strong. Even if this outward man, that temporal man, is perishing, that inward man can stay strong right up to the end. Hallelujah. Praise God. I know if the Lord tarries and I go by the way of the grave, I'm going to go out shouting. Hallelujah. I'm going to go out praising God. I'm going to go out praying. Unless it's a car accident, I'll pray as long as I can before I die. It's just the reality. I know I'm going out. And so that's how I want to go out. I want to go out praising my God, thanking my God, rejoicing in my God, serving my God, anointed by my God, and speaking in tongues if I got time. Hallelujah. Why? Because that's the Holy Ghost. Oh, there's been multitudes of times I've had the opportunity to stand by a bedside and watch them depart out of this world speaking in tongues. Worshiping God, praising God. Hallelujah. And there's nothing like the presence of God at the homegoing of a saint of God. Hallelujah. And there's no easier funeral service to preach than the one that has went on to glory by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. But it's day by day, church. Just day by day, serving God, pursuing God, being anointed of God, being conscious of God and not taking God for granted. Could I have a piano player? Day by day. There's no greater joy than to find the presence of the Lord early on in the day. But if you can't find Him early on in the day, find Him at lunchtime. Find Him at break time. And if you haven't found Him all day, then definitely find Him in the evening time. But don't go a full day without finding Him. If you want victory in your life, I just preached it to you. It's one day at a time. Day by day. There's an illustration in a story, it's been used time and time again, about the big rocks, the little rocks, the sand. About how can you get the most in a vessel when you got big rocks, little rocks, and sand. And of course, as the story goes on, it becomes very simple. Well, you always put in your big rocks first. They're going to take up the most space. But a big rock is always going to make a void somewhere. And then you put in your smaller rocks. Because they'll fall in and fill that void. And then to make it full, you just start trickling in the sand. And it fills up all the voids. And now you've got a full container. And that is used to help us realize as human beings, we got to have priorities. We got to put in the big rocks first in our day. And I got news for you, your big rock ain't your job. That would fall under your medium-sized rocks. Your big rocks are God's Word, God's Spirit, and God's will. Those are the big rocks. And when you get the big rocks in first, everything else is going to fall and be a better day. I'm not telling you it's going to be the best day you ever had, but you'll be able to do the best you can that day. Regardless of how the day goes, you'll have Him. You'll have Christ. You'll have His anointing. You'll have His presence. And then if things just really go bad or south, you can still rejoice because you know He's been with you and He's taken you through. Praise be to our God. Hallelujah. Let's stand together here tonight. Glory to His name. Just day by day, church. Just day by day. Hallelujah. Just one day, I must be victorious. And really, that is not an option. I must press to be victorious because it will not happen by chance. But if I purpose in my heart to put in those big rocks and become God conscious and Spirit led, then that day is going to be ordered by the Lord, no matter what comes my way. Glory. I'd rather face a trial in the anointing of God than face one and try to figure it all out myself. Hallelujah. Praise our God. Hallelujah. So let's come. Let's find a place to pray here tonight. And let's find the strength that we're going to need for tomorrow's journey. Let's take opportunity. Take time to draw nigh to the Lord.